and hold fairs at the graves, to light lamps there, for women to gather there, and to cover the graves with sheets. These are all bid'at. Number 2, to construct tombs over the graves. Number 3, to go to extremes in revering the graves with a view to please the saint, the pious person of the grave. To kiss the graves. To make tawaf and sajda to the graves. To make special journeys to the graves, enduring great difficulties for worldly and religious necessities. To sing by the graves. To erect high graves and to decorate them. To place flowers or wreaths on the graves. To perform salah towards the graves. To build over the graves, to build any type of structure over the graves. To write on a stone and leave it there. To cover graves with a sheet. And to make offerings of sweetmeats to the graves. These are all types of bid'at and innovations and customs which are found in many places of the world. And even here in our country, certain places, these types of bid'at are being practiced upon. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from all this. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 17th para was recited. The 17th para comprises of two surahs, Suratul Anbiya and Suratul Hajj. The first surah is Suratul Anbiya. As the name suggests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second half of the surah mentions the many Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. 17 Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam have been mentioned by name here. And the incidents of a few of them, of 5 or 6 of them, have also been mentioned in the surah. Hence, the name has been kept Suratul Anbiya. In the first half of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the many baseless claims and stubborn statements of the kuffar, particularly the mushrikeen, concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also concerning the Qur'an al-Majid, and the replies and answers to them also, Allah Ta'ala mentions them in various verses at different places in the first portion of the surah. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the day of Qiyamah, that اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, that the reckoning of people has drawn close. In other words, the day of Qiyamah. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, and yet people turn away in negligence. They don't pay heed to the fact that they will have to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after passing away. Reference is made, first of all, to the temporary nature of this world, and then towards the aqeedah of the year after, that there is life after death, and we have to answer, and we are accountable for all our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions their baseless statements and absurd type of demands which they make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whenever a new verse reaches them, they listen to it in jest, in a condition that their hearts are completely heedless. Lahiyatan qulubuhum. And then these people, the wrongdoers, they secretly convene and they talk amongst themselves. Hal hada illa basharum mithlukum. That this Nabi is none but a human being like yourselves. In other words, if he claims to be a Nabi, why is he just like us? He's supposed to be some special type of species of creation. He is just like us. He also needs to eat and drink and do the things which normally human beings have to do. What's so special about him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on mentions the answer and response to this absurd claim of them, that whichever Anbiya alayhi salatu salam we sent for the guidance of mankind were all men. None of them were of any other species. And if you don't, understand that, fas'alu ahla dhikri, that those people who have knowledge, the Ahle Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, ask them also. Their respective Anbiya alayhi salatu salam were also human beings, were also men. Then concerning the Qur'an al-Majid, they first of all could not deny the amazing influence an effect the Qur'an-i-Majid had on the hearts of people, and the level of eloquence also of the Qur'an-i-Majid, they couldn't deny it. But how to now make up some type of excuse not to accept the Qur'an-i-Majid to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They mentioned various things. One of those things is that they said, It is magic. Just as magic has an influence and affects people, so they branded the Qur'an-i-Majid as a type of magic. Then they say, "Bal qalu adghathu ahlam." No, it is a collection of confused dreams. Then they say, "Bal iftarahu." But instead they say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forged it from his own side, has authored it from his own side and attributed it to Nabi sallallahu to Allah ta'ala. And then they say, bal huwa sha'ir. Instead, no, he's just a poet. And because he's just a poet, his words have appeal, but they lack any truth in them. This is how they try to now brush off the fact that the Qur'an-i-Majid has such amazing influence on the people, and they tried in different ways to turn the people away from the Qur'an-i-Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at various places throughout the Qur'an-i-Majid mentions the response and answer to all these things, that if it is so, then produce the like of it. Why can't you produce the like of it if you say it is man-made? You claim to be on the highest levels of eloquence and perfection in the language. Then you yourself bring even one surat, but you can't do so. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the plight of the destroyed nations. وَقَمْ قَسَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. That how many towns we have destroyed who were wrongdoers, and we raised after them other nations. So the indication to this is that no nation must regard themselves to be indispensable, and that they, although they can carry on the evils of transgression, and yet nobody can do anything to them. Allah Ta'ala says, so many nations we have destroyed, and in place of them we raised other nations. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions that through haqq, we completely destroy the batil. Bal naqdhifu bil haqqi ala al batil. That through the haqq, we hurl the haqq onto the batil, fayadmaghuhu, and the haqq, which is Islam, which is tawheed, it smashes the batil in such a way, fa'idha huwa zahiq, that suddenly you see that batil has completely disappeared. When the light of iman, when the light of haqq and the truth comes to a person, then all forms of batil completely disappear. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the logical proof deduction and analysis concerning tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. That if they were in the skies and the earth, many deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the functioning and in the running of the skies and the earth, there would have been chaos. They would never have been able to function smoothly and properly if there was more than one Allah. The explanation of this is that if, for example, there were two gods, and each one is regarded to be independent and sovereign compared to the other one, then it would be an impossibility that in every matter there is now common ground and there is no differences between the two. If they are each one is independent and sovereign, and since the dispute and differences will be inevitable, so this will automatically lead to conflict and chaos in the smooth functioning of the universe. But since this universe is functioning so smoothly, everything is going according to order, therefore it follows that there can't be more than one God. There can be only one Allah. And if there was more than one Allah, then the smooth functioning of the universe will never have existed. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through logical deduction, explains why there can't be more than one Allah in this universe. And only there is one Allah who is the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of many of his great creations, in which there is further proof of the oneness and existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes mention of the skies and the earth, kanata ratqan, that they were closed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opened them, that from the skies rain falls, and from the earth vegetation grows. Allah ta'ala speaks of the mountains, which Allah ta'ala has created as pegs on the earth, to maintain the stability of the earth. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the roads, natural roads which Allah Ta'ala has made in the world. If the whole world was rocky and mountainous, as some portions of the world are, then it would have been impossible for man to travel from place to place. This is also the great sign of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes mention of the sky, that what a protective roof He has made it over us. Allah ta'ala speaks of other creations, the night, the day, the sun, the moon, all these things, and all concerning the planets, how they move in their particular orbits, and they stay in their orbits. They don't stray from their orbits or cross into the orbit of anything else, which will cause great collisions. And they are moving at fantastic speeds, to which even the astrologers and the experts, they testify to. But there are no collisions. Here on our highways, we hardly move at 100, 120 kilometers an hour, and daily there are so many accidents. But here they are moving at speeds in the thousands of kilometers per hour. But everything, there's no collisions, or else how will this universe remain in existence? Allah Ta'ala draws our attention after that to the fact that these mushrikeen, they're waiting that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must cease to exist, must pass away. Allah Ta'ala says, no human being has ever before you remained forever. So if you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has to die, are these people going to stay forever? Remember, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every person is to taste of death. And Allah Ta'ala says, we will test you with conditions, good and bad. We will test you through that. And eventually, wa ilayna turja'un, to us will be your ultimate return. Allah Ta'ala mentions then the inherent and weakness of man. Khuliqal insanu min ajal. Insan has been created with haste. In his nature, he wants things to happen quickly. Particularly in this instance, is coming in front that they used to say that where is the promise of punishment which you are telling us about? Why is it not coming? Allah Ta'ala says, "Sa'urikum ayati." I will show you my signs of my qudrat and also of my punishment. Fala tastajilun. Don't hurry me. It will come on its time. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention in the second half of the surah, the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, commencing with the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Many places in the Quran Majid, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned. Here particularly the incident when Ibrahim alayhi salam broke and destroyed the idols of his nation, and when they knew it was him, and when he was called up and questioned about it, he proved to them the how illogical it is to worship such things which are completely man-made with stone, and they can't effect harm or benefit, they can't speak, they can't protect themselves from anything. And he made them understand that it is very illogical to worship these type of idols. These people, they knew they had no answers. Nukisu ala ru'usihim. They just had to put their heads down in shame and embarrassment. But to save themselves from further embarrassment, they threw Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam into a great fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala ordered the fire, ya naru, O fire, kuni bardo wa salaman. Become cool and a place of safety and tranquility for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aradu bihi kaidan. They plotted to harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Allah ta'ala says, we made them amongst the greatest of losers. In other words, they couldn't harm Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the least bit. Thereafter, the incident of Lut alayhi salam and his nation, Nuh alayhi salam and his nation, and then Sulaiman and Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides granting them nabuwat, granted them the kingdom of this world also, in a unique type of kingdom, where their kingdom was not only over humans, but also over the jinnat, the mountains, the insects, the animals, and even the wind. All these things, all these creations were subservient to them also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Yunus alayhi salam, how the fish swallowed him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And in other Anbiya alayhi salam are mentioned. Allah ta'ala, after mentioning all that, says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. That this way, and these type of, this way are shown by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, is your deen. And it is the one and single deen which is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none else. Further on towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you but as a mercy for the world, for the entire universe. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has been sent to show the path of salvation for mankind. That is why he is a mercy for the entire world. The objective and purpose of the creation of this universe is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his teachings, through his messages and his practical example, fulfilled this objective, and that is why he is the mercy to the entire world. Further on in the next surah, Suratul Hajj, is a Madani surah. As the name suggests, mention is made about Hajj in the surah. Together with that, jihad, qurbani, etc. are also explained. And despite it being a Madani surah, but most of the subject matter concerns aqaid, in other words, the fundamentals of deen, which is normally found in the Makki surahs. But here, despite it being a Madani surah, all these things have also been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning depicts the very, very fearful and terrifying scenes of the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala says that the earthquake of Qiyamah is a great thing. The day of Qiyamah will be such that the suckling mother will abandon and leave aside the nursing child, that the child which it is breastfeeding, and every pregnant woman will abort its fetus, and you will see people in an intoxicated state, whereas in reality they will not be intoxicated, but because of the fearful scenes of Qiyamah, they will lose their senses. So Allah Ta'ala depicts the scene, and thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives the response and answer to those who reject the concept of life after death and resurrection. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala provides two proofs. The first one, Allah Ta'ala mentions that think and ponder over the stages of human development. That from the time a human being is now his initial starting point, Allah Ta'ala says, we created you from sand. In other words, your father Adam alayhi salam, he was created from sand directly, and you also created from sand indirectly, in the sense that thumma min nutfa, from a drop of semen, and that semen is produced from blood, and blood is produced from food, and food grows from the ground. So we also indirectly, all of us, also created from sand. Then the next stage, that a clot of blood, then a lump of flesh, shaped and unshaped. Some children are born with some deformities. Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom sometimes creates children like that also. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we keep that fetus in the womb of the mother till an appointed time. And then the next stage, ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا, we take you out as a child from the womb of your mother. And then you reach your age of strength, your youth. And then Allah Ta'ala says that some we keep them alive, and some we give them death before they reach old age. And others reach old age, that age, such old age where a person does not know after he had knew. In other words, he becomes senile. Allah Ta'ala protect us from such conditions. But Allah Ta'ala says this is also a stage of human life. So if a person can think and ponder over the stages of human development, seven of them have been mentioned here, from sand till the old age, then a person can understand when Allah can create us in this way, then what's difficult for Allah Ta'ala that after creating us and we pass away to recreate us? What is so difficult for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? The second proof is concerning وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِرَةً, you will see that the earth is barren, is nothing growing, but one rainfall and the earth stirs to life and starts flourishing with vegetation of all types. وَأَمْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ, all splendid type of vegetation start growing. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dead ground can stir it to life with one rainfall, then what is difficult for Allah ta'ala that after we die can then bring us back to life? Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention of some type of people, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ, that some type of people are such who worship Allah Ta'ala as if they are on an edge. In other words, they are in a state of continuous uncertainty and doubt. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ, if good reaches them, they are satisfied. But if some trial overtakes them, إِنْ قَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ, they turn around on their faces. In other words, they turn back to kufr. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, they are in a loss in this dunya and in the hereafter. In this dunya, they are also always in a state of confusion and in an unstable condition. And in the hereafter also, they are at great loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was shown the place to construct the Baytullah. The initial construction of the Baytullah was by Adam alayhi salam himself with the angels. But after the floods at the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, traces of the construction of the Baytullah no more remained. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then indicated to Ibrahim alayhi salam the exact spot where the Baytullah had the foundations were there. And he raised the Baytullah and constructed it with the help of Ismail alayhi salam, which was mentioned in the first para. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. And then proclaim and announce to the people concerning Hajj, they will come to you walking, and on every lean camel, and they will come to you from far off distant roads, and they will come. It comes in the hadith, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah ta'ala, that, oh Allah ta'ala, this place is completely uninhabited. I'm going to make an announcement, who's going to hear my announcement? Allah ta'ala says, you do as you have been told, and we will make your sound rich to all those for whom we have destined that he will come for Hajj. And it comes in the hadith that all of whoever till the day of Qiyamah will be coming for Hajj. He heard the sound of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in Alam Barzakh, and he those who said labbaik to the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salam will inshallah be blessed with the opportunity to go for Hajj. Allah ta'ala thereafter makes mention of the importance of showing respect to the Sha'airullah, those things which are the distinctive landmarks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says this is from the category of taqwa al-qulub, that it shows the taqwa of the hearts. Therefore, Baytullah, everything associated with the Baytullah, even the animals which are taken for sacrifice, they are also from the Sha'airullah. Allah ta'ala mentions concerning Qurbani, that it is actually we want to see your devotion and how you submit to the will and command of Allah ta'ala. This is what we want. It is not the flesh and the blood which reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the taqwa in your heart. How much of devotion and dedication and submission you show. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to see. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a verse which is the first verse which was revealed to give permission to take up arms and make jihad against the kuffar. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Muslims were subjected to severe forms of oppression, and they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam for permission to take up arms and retaliate, but no permission was granted. 70 verses, up to 70 verses were revealed, wherein the hukam and the order of persevering and making sabr was mentioned. But after migration to and hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara, then this verse was revealed, which is the first verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that permission has been granted to fight against those people because they have been oppressed. In other words, the Muslims had been oppressed. Therefore, it is permissible now that you can fight against those who did the oppression. So this was the first verse revealed for the permission of jihad. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the scenes of Jannat and Jahannam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish those in Jahannam, and what bounties and ni'mats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the people of Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala makes mention of an example of the futility of those who involved in idol worshipping. Allah ta'ala says that these people who worship these idols, they are such that they can't create one single fly. Even if they get together, and if the fly has to take away and snatch away anything from them, the sweetmeats which they offer to the idols and place it there, obviously flies are going to come. And that little bit which they take away, even they can't retrieve it. Allah Ta'ala says, ضعف الطالب والمطلوب, the seeker and the sought, the idol worshipper and the idol itself, both of them are weak, they can't do nothing. Allah Ta'ala then on the last page mentions, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِي, that strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you ought to strive, with full devotion, dedication, without any ulterior motive. Allah Ta'ala says, هُوَجْتَبَاكُمْ, that Allah has selected you, O Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has selected you. May Allah Ta'ala give us, let this reality dawn upon us, that Allah Ta'ala has selected us to be from the Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Millions of people, they are not in the Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anbiya of the previous nations, they also desired to be part of the Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is through selection that we are from the Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How much shukr we can make will never be enough. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have not placed for you in deen any type of difficulty. Every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it can be easily fulfilled for all types of people, for all times, till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, follow the deen of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. The deen of Islam is according to the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala says, huwa sammakum al-muslimin. It is Allah who has kept your name as Muslimi. Another great bounty of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has kept us by such a name, which indicates the submissive quality of a mu'min, that he is always submissive to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that Allah has kept your name Muslimin from before in the previous scriptures also, وَفِي هَذَا, and in this Qur'an Majid also, so that the Rasul can be a witness for you, in other words, and on the day of Qiyamah, that you responded and you also will be a witness against the people of the past, that their respective Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam had conveyed the message to them. Therefore, keeping your high status in mind, Allah Ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Then show your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dedicate yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfect your salat and pay your zakat and hold firmly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your protective friend. And what a good protective friend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And what a good helper Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان سلمان رضي الله عنه في عصابة يذكرون الله تبارك وتعالى فمر بهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكفوا فقال إني رأيت الرحمة تنزل عليكم فأحببت أن أشارككم فيها. رواه أحمد. And Salman رضي الله تعالى عنه was once making ذكر of Almighty Allah سبحانه وتعالى together with his companions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them, due to which they stopped. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, verily I had seen the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raining down upon you, thus I desired to also come and join you. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once making dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with his companions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them, due to which they stopped. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, verily I had seen the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raining down upon you, thus I also desired to come and join you. This has been narrated by Ahmad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدھر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ
اللہ دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہوں ایک خبردار تیرا لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الہی عطا ہو ذرائے درد دل کے مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں ہے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس تادم آخر ورد زبان اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ apne milne ka pata koi nishan tu bata de mujhko ae rabbe jahan allah 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 mita de apni hasti ko chhod de sari masti ko basti basti kehta ja Allah 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 wa idha sa'alaka 'ibadi 'anni fa inni qareeb Allah 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 Kullu man 'alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram Allah 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 Jalla Jalaluhu Ta'ala
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ومن العمل ما ترضى والصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا واجعل خشيتك أخوف العشياء عندنا اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وجاه سيدنا محمد